Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, as we come to your holy word, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, grant us the ability to understand it rightly, and then grant us the strength to be able to make proper application in our daily Christian lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, we find ourselves in a section of James. We're coming to the end, but in a sense, so with the section that we're in, last week was part one, and today would be part two. So we're looking at a section where James is telling us how to function within the community of believers. Last week, James talked about how we should speak plainly to each other. We should let our yes be yes and our no be no. We also learned last week about praying for those who are sick, both in body and in soul. So if we hear about someone who is sick, we can pray for them. If we want to go and visit them and pray for them, that's even better. And if we want to go and visit them and anoint them with oil and pray for them, that's even better yet, according to James chapter 5. Today, we go deeper into our community relationships by admitting our sins to each other and praying for each other. These are things that are getting very personal and private, but the further we go in that direction, the more God will unite us to each other. In the first part here, I say, don't shower with your clothes on. Can you imagine doing that, taking a shower with your clothes on? If you did that, thorough washing, rinsing, and drying would be impossible. When you got done, you would still be dirty, you would be wet, and you would feel miserable. We don't want that, do we? Well, how can we make application to a spiritual washing? Without a full disclosure of our sins, that's going to leave us feeling basically wet and miserable and dirty. Let's go a little further here by getting into the text. We're in James chapter 5, going to verse 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So physical illness is not good. Spiritual illness, we would say, is even worse. So what is God doing here? God is working through James to give us the cure for spiritual illness. He tells us very simply, first confess and then pray. Luke Timothy Johnson, he notes in this section that such mutual transparency is startling. In other words, for each of us to make a full disclosure to each other about our sins and each of us to pray for each other. But yet again, though, there is benefit in that, and God is calling us to go in that direction. I want to touch on a few passages here now on the topic of confession. First of all, thinking about John the Baptizer, how people came to him confessing their sins. It says in Matthew 3, the people were baptized by John in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. So that was a normal reality that they were coming, and they were coming with sorrow for their sins, and they were coming with a true desire to go and sin no more. That's a little bit why when the Pharisees came, what did John call them? John called them a brood of vipers. Because he saw no change in their lives. He saw no desire to be different. Rather, they were by them coming, they were expressing an outward reality that they were sorry, but he wasn't seeing any difference in their lives. God wants us to know that when we are sorry for our sins, that's going to show. And then the next one I want to share with you, I'm going to read a little bit more than I put in the sermon, but I want to go to Acts chapter 19. And read about this very interesting situation that took place. It says, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them. Can you imagine this? The evil spirit answered them and said, Jesus, I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? So they're using the name of Jesus, but they don't really even know Jesus. Who are you? Then it says, then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. What should we pick up from that? We are talking about one man against seven men. And yet the power of evil is so powerful that those men did not stand a chance against that evil. God wants us to know that evil is nothing to dabble in. It is extremely powerful. The good news is that God is greater than any force of evil. That's the good part. I'm not getting to what I wanted to read here yet. It goes on to say, when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. So maybe before this time, it's like, okay, I know I'm a sinner, I heard about Jesus, I believe in him, but yet, at the same time, I'm kind of sinning over here on the side, or I'm doing this thing that's not quite right, or I'm really not reconciled with this other guy. That's okay, no big deal. Well, after this incident, and after they heard about it, God used that to change them, because it goes on to say, many of those who believed now came and openly confessed their evil deeds. Before this, maybe they underestimated who God is and how powerful the forces of evil are. But when this happened, that changed the people. And now they sincerely confessed. They wanted God to know everything. They wanted to be completely clean from all the ways in which they were living in sin. One more here, probably the most popular passage in the Bible on the topic of confession would be 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God is welcoming us to put all of our sins out there, and God wants to wash them all away. And what does he use to wash? He uses the precious blood of Jesus that was shed to take away our sins. What is confession? Martin Luther answered that question by writing, confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins, and second, that we receive absolution, that is forgiveness. So we say, we could look at it this way, maybe to add a little bit more to what Martin Luther said and say, when I do wrong, it's important that I don't try to blame it on somebody else, but I admit and say, yes, I did it. Yes, I take responsibility for it. Yes, I am sorry for it. Yes, I am trusting in Christ for the forgiveness of that sin. And yes, with the help and power of God, I want to go and sin no more. That is true confession and absolution. Again, going back to the text here, James wrote, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Why? So that you may be healed. It's talking about a spiritual healing that needs to take place within the community of believers. We know that physical illness hinders the function of our bodies, so God wants us to know that spiritual illness ends up hindering how we function as the one body of Christ here in this place. So for believers to be healed, how does that happen? It's a very simple thing. God simply said to us that we are to confess to and pray for each other. May God help us to do that. May God help us to be a healthy, united congregation. Let's go on to the second and final part now. I call it, do not be restricted by the limits of this world. Imagine this kind of a scenario where, let's say, you have a loved one and she's in the hospital and the doctor comes to you and he says, your loved one is very sick. In fact, her condition is terminal. So upon hearing that news, you say, okay, that's it. We give up. We're throwing in the towel. We know our loved one's going to die. There's nothing we can do about it. Is that how we live sometimes? I would say that would be what we might call living within the box, if you will. That's how most people think about it. The doctor knows everything. If he says death is imminent, there are no other options, so now we just have to give up. God doesn't want us to be that way. God wants us to know that he is the Almighty God, and he can do anything. He is calling us to think outside of the box. He is calling us to pray outside of the box. He is calling us to have confidence in what the world thinks is impossible. So going to the second part then of verse 16, these particular words are from the New International Version of the Bible, where it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. I think that makes it the easiest to understand in the NIV. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. But really, it's a tough situation here in the Greek. But to get literally at the Greek, it goes like this. It says, a petition of a righteous man being made effective is very strong. I hope you can see how it's kind of saying the same thing, but let's go into that a little bit further. First of all, when we think about a prayer or a petition, what is that? It's simply a person speaking to God with words and with thoughts. And then it talks about a righteous man. So a righteous man or woman or child is someone who knows Jesus Christ as Savior. So we have to be righteous in order for God to hear our prayer. Like it says in Proverbs, it says, it says the wicked are far from the Lord, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Proverbs 15:29. So God wants us to know that it's a key thing to be righteous. And then this idea of it being made effective is very strong. Think about it like this. God does hear those who are righteous. God is always able to answer. No matter how big our request is, God is always able to answer. God has told us in his word that he does answer those who abide in him, those who abide in his word. So if you put that all together, that here we are the children of God, we are asking the Almighty God, we are ones who abide in his word, therefore we know his will. So we could say then that the likelihood of our prayer being answered is very strong. Does it mean that God's going to give us everything we ask? Is God like a genie in a bottle? By no means. But God wants us to ask with confidence. He wants us to ask for things that are even impossible. And he wants us to know if it is his will, he will grant it. Now we come to an example of prayer, and this ties into today's Old Testament reading. In verse 17, it says, Elijah was a man just like us. Well, maybe not exactly like us, but he was more of just a regular person, if you will. But God chose to use him in an extraordinary way. So God wants us to know that we are regular people, but God can also use us in extraordinary ways. Goes on to say then, he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again Elijah prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So the situation is simple. We're not dealing here with Mother Nature. We don't want to go there. I don't know why these weather people keep bringing up this idea of Mother Nature. I don't know who that is. But we're talking here about the Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who has control over all things. So Elijah, a forgiven child of God, he goes to his father in heaven and he prays, don't let it rain for 3.5 years. So God liked that prayer. God granted that prayer, and therefore it didn't rain. It's that simple of a thing. But did that really happen, though? I mean, how could that happen? Do you think any of us could pray like that and that would happen? Well, okay, I'm glad to hear your confidence here, Gertrude. So she said, Yeah, sure. So God wants us to know that these things are possible even today. So we should be thinking and praying outside the box. Jesus even verified what happened. If we go to Luke chapter 4, verse 25, Jesus said, "But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months." So the Lord can work powerfully through us, even as he did with Elijah. So we can make a comparison there and say, we might not be like the great prophet in certain ways, but we are the children of God in Christ. God is our Heavenly Father. We can cry out to him in prayer. He is the Almighty God. He can do anything. So God wants us to ask in faith, but always ask with the attitude, "Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. You know what is best, so I'm gonna bring my best request I can, but if you know what's better, Father, you do know what's better, and if you have a better idea than I do, by all means, you go with your idea and forget about mine." That should be the attitude with which we come, and then whatever we pray, may God help us to accept whatever his answer is. I want to conclude the sermon today in a little bit different manner. I wrote 3 short prayers, and I want to conclude with those prayers. And as I pray them, some of the things might sound like big requests, but let's know that God is able to do it. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we have all sinned in various ways. Our sins can even bring disunity to the body of Christ. Therefore, we pray that you would help us to openly admit our sins to each other and pray for each other, knowing that you are the Almighty God and you are able to grant us complete healing. And all God's people said, Dear Lord, guide us as a congregation so that we always honor you, so that we never, ever compromise your word, so that we truly love each other even as you love us, and so that we work together always to seek and follow your will for our lives, for our congregation, for our community, for our nation, and our world. And all God's people said, Dear Lord, in our nation and around the world, you know that many families, many schools, many Christian congregations are in great, great trouble. Many have pushed you aside and gone their own way, and yet they don't even realize it. They think they're going your way, and yet they're not. We pray, dear Father in heaven, that you would grant forgiveness and restoration to each one as you open their eyes to the truth, as you show them the finished work of your Son, and as you draw them unto yourself. And all God's people said, Amen.